If you'd open your Bibles this morning to where we have been for quite a while, Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 6. I was sleeping pretty good this morning before the alarm went off. It woke me up. I was having a dream. Anybody here remember their dreams very often? I had a dream, and it was one of those strange ones where evidently I had died, and I was getting ready to enter in through the pearly gates of heaven. And as I got there, sure enough, like they always talk about in jokes, Peter was there at the pearly gates, and I walked up and got ready to walk in. He goes, whoa, 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 whoa. He goes, where do you think you're going? I said, I'm going in. And he goes, well, I want to let you know before you go in, Kevin, that there are some things that you believed down on earth that you were not quite accurate about. Y'all think that there will be some things that we aren't accurate on? And so he goes, so I just want you to understand that any sins that you did not confess, now, if the ones you confessed, you're forgiven and cleansed, but the ones you never confessed, you have to pay for them now. And I said, what? He goes, I said, how? He goes, like this. And all of a sudden, there was a big old steel band that went around my left arm. And all of a sudden, I heard this clink, 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 and all these chain links were just clink, 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 going to that. And I follow it up, and then boom, it's on the arm of another person, and it is the ugliest woman you ever did see. You know they talk about how ugly sin is? She was that. And she was really round, all right? She was a big woman. And so he goes, now just settle down. He goes, once your sins are paid for, it'll just disappear. But right now, just go on into heaven and enjoy yourself. So I'm walking in there, and she's really slow, and people are looking, so I'm trying to hide her behind me, but she's way out on each side. And I'm walking along, and I'm dragging her, and it's like, oh, I can't believe this. And all of a sudden, I look, and I said, Peter. He goes, what? I said, look who's coming down the ching. Look who's coming down that street over there. He goes, yeah. I said, I went to church with that guy. Is that not Don Stevenson? He goes, sure is. And I looked as he got closer, and Don had a steel band going around his wrist. And he had this long chain going over. And chained to Don was the most gorgeous, beautiful, well, thin woman you ever did see. And I said, Peter, I knew that guy. How did he get that? He goes, well, see, again, you don't understand things, Kevin, like you think. He goes, let me explain to you. That woman had unconfessed sins as well. And she has to pay for those. Did y'all hear what I said? I'll say it again if you need me to. I'm glad that our Bible is sure. Amen. It's steadfast. There won't be any surprises when we get to heaven. Let's ask God to bless the time as we reread Philippians here. Father, add your blessing now as we open up your word, and may we see the content, dear Father, that it is already set and secure, and we rejoice and we thank you for that in Christ's precious name. Amen. I want to begin reading with verse number 1. It says, Paul and Timothy is the servants of Jesus Christ to all the saints in Christ Jesus, that would include all of us, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. As we have been spending time here on verse 6, this is actually our fourth and final message on verse 6. So you can see why it's taken me 4 weeks that I didn't do it all at one time, all right, in one service. I used to try to do that, and my wife kind of said, you know, you need to break those up. So we're talking about he's still working on me. And as we got into that, we talked about the confidence of the saints was examined. We saw that our confidence we have here was threefold. It was profound, personal, and powerful. Being confident of this very thing. And so there's that confidence that we have, that assurance that God is working on us. He saved us, and now he's keeping us while he's still sanctifying us to be ready to take on the image of his son. Then we talked about last week, the commitment of the Savior is examined. Our confidence in him because of his commitment to us. And we looked at three things also in that we would consider. We considered the investment that he made, the involvement that he has, and the intentions. What's the finished product going to look like? Being confident of this very thing that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And that brings us to the message today here, as we're going to look at here, and it is the area of the comfort of the Scriptures is examined. The comfort of the Scriptures is now going to be examined this morning. Paul, as the Holy Spirit is moving upon him to write and pen this letter, tells us that God will keep working on you and on me. And he uses the phrase, notice if you would in verse 6, until the day of Jesus Christ. He won't stop until the day of Jesus Christ. That little phrase ought to give us some comfort and some encouragement today to let us understand that God is involved in your daily lives minute, second by second. He's using circumstances. He's using situations. He's allowing people to mold us and to make us after his will. Good things and what we would consider bad things. And he says, then I take those two things and I bring them together and they work for good. Just like if you have a raw egg and some flour, you don't eat that. You mix it together with some chocolate chips. And you eat cookies, right? So those things that we would not normally eat separately, when they're mixed together, it works out for the good. Now, there are three things that we want to talk about as we consider until the day of Jesus Christ. The first thing I want you to see here, and I don't remember if I did all three of these at the same time I did, is there will be a day of termination, that it will end. There will be a day of transformation, and there will be a day of translation. So let's look at all three of those this morning as we talk about he is still working on me and the comfort we receive from the Scriptures. First off, there will be a day of termination. Folks, that ought to excite us. That should comfort us in knowing that this earthly life will not last forever. There is coming a day when the saints of God, the believers in Christ, will leave this world with all of its hardships, with all of its sorrows. All those things will be left behind. We have a song that we sing that says, there is coming a day when no heartaches, anybody ever have heartaches in life? When no heartaches shall come, no more. No more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. The writer goes on, it says, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day, that will be. He goes on, and he says, there'll be No sorrow there. No sorrow there. Forever. You're not just going to have a good day. You're going to have one good eternal day. There'll be no sorrow there. No more burdens to bear. No more sickness. We have people out because of sickness today. No pain. Anybody got pain here today? We had a deacon in our first church. First deacon I ever had. Military man. Loved that man dearly. And he had spurs, bone spurs in his neck. They could not operate because it was too close to the spinal cord. And that guy could be talking with you and all of a sudden one of those bone spurs would pierce him and the pain that guy would go into. I say that because even though he had that and it hit him quite often, I remember him coming into church in full bore pain from those bone spurs. And he says, "Pastor, if you don't mind, I'll sit at the back today. I'm really having trouble. And if you don't mind, I might end up just getting out of my pew and just laying on the floor if you don't have a problem with that." He goes, I'm going to be hurting at home. I'll be hurting at the church. I'd just as soon be in the church with God's people, with God's word, in pain than at home in pain by myself. There's a lesson for us. That is describing a man's heart. He says, there will be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. How many have lost loved ones? And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, a glorious day that will be. We're talking about until the day of Jesus Christ. It's a day of termination. There are two ways that this day of termination can happen. Number one is that it could happen through the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church. Turn, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians. Just go to the right there. And you'll come to 1 and 2 Timothy. You've gone too far. You want 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse number 13. Paul says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, brothers and sisters, concerning them which are asleep, that have died, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord." Here's our authority. "That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." If the rapture was to take place today, our day is done. It's terminated. We're no longer here. We will be transformed as the graves are opened up and all the believers come up out of the ground with resurrected bodies. We will be changed in a glorified body. We will be caught up together. We won't go before them. They will come and we will be caught up together and we'll meet the Lord in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Folks, I tell you what, as a Christian, you better keep your eye on what's happening in the news. I think we are on the verge of the return of Christ. I know we've been living in the last days. Paul said that they were in the last days. I think we're in the last minutes of the last days. You keep your eye on Israel. You have peace treaties that are making preparation. You have some of them that have cry out, "Iran, death to America, death to Israel." They're subdued now so that Israel can come about bringing a peace treaty. A lot of things are happening. A peace treaty has to be engaged for us to have a third temple. Go to the website Temple Institute. They'll tell you what they have already done. They're going through the genealogies, making sure they have all the proper credentials to be the priest to offer sacrifices. They have all the clothing prepared. They have the vessels made. They're just waiting for that opportunity to build the temple, the third temple, which has to be there during the tribulation, because the Antichrist will go into it halfway through after the peace treaty, halfway through, and sit down on it and declare himself that he is God. Folks, we are close. They even have on that website that you can send money to them to help them fund the preparation for the third temple. That's an incredible thought. You can be a part of advancing prophecy by simply giving. Paul, when he was writing in 1 Corinthians 15, listen to what he says in verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. A mystery is something that's never been revealed before. He says, we shall not all sleep. We're not all going to die. But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Incorruptible means deathlessness, to die no more again. And we shall be changed. I remember when I first was a Christian, our church, home church, had up in the nursery that verse of scripture where it says that we... Where is it at there? Where it talks about, where did it go? 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That's a good one for the nursery. But we shall all be changed. And go ask the ladies in there if that's not a theme verse in there. All right? They don't sleep and they need their diapers changed. Paul is writing about, this is something that's new that was revealed to him, and he's sharing with a carnal church, the church at Corinth. And then we get it ourselves. So that's one way that this day will bring about the termination. The other way is if you or I pass on before the rapture. And I know how it always goes. I know when I talk with my wife, she always hopes I go first. A lot of the wives hope their husbands go first because the guys won't be able to take care of themselves. But that's on the Lord's order and agenda, amen? Now let me just say something for the believer. I'm assuming I'm talking to believers today, amen? There's a couple of you out there, I heard. You could go by way of death. And by the way, there's no reference for whether men or women go first. There's no reference of age. It can come to anybody and everybody. Just like the rapture in a moment that you think not, so can death come as well. But as a believer, there should be no fear of death because Jesus has already conquered death and resurrected from the dead, showing victory over death. In Revelation chapter 1, John is writing, and he speaks of Christ. And in Revelation 1, and look at, if you would, at verse number 8. Jesus says, I am Alpha and Omega. I'm the first and the last, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. He is coming. It's not just Jesus is coming, that's enough, but it says that the Almighty God is coming. He is the one who is the beginning and the end of all things. Just as we talked before that on day number one, it says, then the evening and the morning were the first day is when time began. There's an angel who steps out and declares that time shall be no more. In Genesis, you have the clock through the hourglass turned upside down and it begins. There's coming a time where that clock hits the last grain of sand and it drops. That's also true for us in this life, if the rapture doesn't take place. It's been said that you go to visit somebody at a graveside and you have two dates there, when they were born and when they died, and there's a little dash in the middle that represents their whole life. What the child of God calls death, the Bible calls sleep. What the child of God calls death is merely a doorway into the presence of God Himself. As the rich man died without Christ, he lifted up his eyes being in torment. Abraham lifted up his eyes, Lazarus opened up his eyes, and he was comforted, being comforted in Abraham's bosom. The father of faith, amen? Father Abraham. So there will be a day of termination when he says, unto the day of Jesus Christ. Secondly, there's going to be a day of transformation. When we leave this world behind, are you all ready to do that yet? And Don and Helen probably aren't. They got their house leveled. They got new carpet. They want to enjoy it now. They would be upset if the Lord sounded the trumpet and came, right? No comment. Some of you are thinking, I'm too young. I got things that I want to do. I want to accomplish. I tell you what, none of that stuff will matter the very first time you see what's going on. It's going to be overwhelming. That's why you're going to need a glorified body. Because this body cannot even look upon the Lord without dropping dead. But He'll give us a glorified body, and we will be like Jesus. When we leave this world behind, we will enter into heaven, and there will be complete change as we have never even imagined. I want you to think about this. The vile, sinful flesh. You see, when God saved me, He saved my soul. His Spirit came within me. But my old Adamic nature, the old sinful nature, He didn't take out when He came in. It's still there. Y'all know that, right? You battle with it. You should. That will be gone. That will be gone. This vile flesh, with all of its vile appetites and the affections that it wants to fulfill will be left behind forever. When I was Sunday after church, we went down to visit Dan Knickerbocker and Em Knickerbocker, and their church was having a conference, so we went down for a couple days short just to visit with them, but to be at the conference. And one of the songs we sang had the verses, the words in it, to be saved, to sin no more. And I thought about that. Even after the preacher started preaching, I was thinking about that. That there's coming a day when I will no more commit another sin and grieve my Lord. Because every sin that I commit now goes upon Him at Calvary. Be saved to sin no more. Be saved to sin no more. That will be done. That will be the day of termination, which brings about the day of transformation. What a day that will be when we receive that perfect, glorified, sinless body and be able to truly stand in His presence. John writes in 1 John chapter 3, verse number 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that you and I should be called the sons or the children of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Paul writes in Corinthians, as he's closing out 1 Corinthians 13, that we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Face to face. There will be a day of transformation. No more wrong thoughts, motives. No more sin with the tongue. No more actions or deeds. No more sin. To save, to sin, no more. And then we have, until the day of Jesus, there will be a day of translation. In 1 Thessalonians, if you want to turn there again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Not only will we be like him, but we will also be with him. Look at verse 17. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them, those that had died, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. We will get to meet him. To be with Jesus, to be in his presence, to be in his heaven, that place. I asked him the other day in prayer. I said, Lord, today seems like I come to you daily with a lot of different petitions, a lot of intercession. And Lord, I'd like to bring them again. And you already know what they are. So I just commit them to you. And I just want to ask you, so how's that place coming along? You told the disciples in John 14 that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you will be also. I said, Lord, I just want to know, how's it coming? Are you getting close to being done? Are you ready for us to come and enjoy it? I'm ready. How many of y'all ready? Lord, how far? How much longer? Way back again, John writes, if you're taking notes, Revelation 21. And he says in verse number 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Did you catch that? We read through that. And God could sit there and say to multitudes, all your tears are gone. But it doesn't say that. There will be weeping for whatever reason it will be. And God will come and touch you and wipe. And when he wipes them away, they're gone. Never again to have a reason to weep or cry. I shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. It is done. Folks, that is a reality that is coming on the future. And we sit here trying to comprehend what we might be able to in this sin-cursed brain and body. Try to imagine it, and we can't. But we can enjoy it one day. Amen. That's what's good. Is I might not understand exactly what that entails, but I'm going to enjoy it when it happens. Thank God, when he left this life, he went to prepare far better things. And we're just waiting on him. That is a comforting and an encouraging truth. Because I know, folks, if it took God 7 days, 7 24-hour days, he spoke this universe, not just this globe, but the universe into existence. That means if he started today, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, he would be, by next Saturday, everything would be completely done, and he would say at the end of it, it's very good. But when he left to go prepare a place, he'd been working on it for more than 2,000 years. Imagine a 7-day project from 2 millenniums. The glory that will be streets, the Bible says, of pure gold, translucent as glass. There will be gates on the city. All, each gate is one pearl. And I'll guarantee you, it's not man cultivated. There will be 12 foundation stones, each having the names of the apostles on it. The gates will have the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There will be no need for the sun. And I like it. You look outside and you see a sunny day. Amen. There'll be no need because just the glory of God shining lights it. And we stop for just a minute and we thank God that right now he's still working on us. There was a video that was put out years ago by Moody Press. And it was on the wonders of the world, the creation. I mean, they took you where you could not, I could not do without the telescopes that they had. And they were showing the vastness of the universe. And in one of them, they illustrated where the person actually left the earth. And as they're flying at light speed, we're going right past the moon and Mars. And we will go right past all of them. We come to Pluto. And all of a sudden, you zoom right past Pluto. And you get way out. And you look down and there's the Milky Way galaxy. And there we are. And they put a little thing to show you where we are in it. As we're in the outer rims, if you would, of this vast galaxy. And then all of a sudden it kicks back and it takes you back down through. And it slows it down. And you're passing Pluto. You go past all of the Jupiter and Saturn and all those. And you come back to Earth. And as it comes back to Earth, it zeroes in on a person, a single person, sitting by a lake on a rock with a Bible in their hand, and it stops, and the person is reading, and what is man that thou art mindful of him? And he's still working on you and me. And he will continue to work on every single one of his children until we're all at home in heaven, whether by sleeping or by the trumpet. And it doesn't matter to me, but I would love to go up in the rapture. Amen. I could have you all stand up. We could practice jumping to see how high we can get right now, huh? Someday, God will finish his work with us. You know what? I don't know if I can speak for you. I can only speak for myself. But I've never, ever, ever been satisfied with myself down here. I have never been satisfied with Kevin Heimer the way he is. But I do know one thing, whether it's by death or by the trumpet, when I'm with him finally, I will be satisfied. This one here is talking about the comfort of the Scriptures. The Scriptures bring us comfort. And for me to make that statement that I just did, I want you to write this down. This is a powerful, powerful verse. Matter of fact, the next two verses I'm going to share, I used at my mom's funeral, when I did her funeral. The first one I put when we designed the little pamphlet that has her face on it when she was young, and I put this first verse right on the bottom. And it's Psalm 17 in verse number 15. And David writes, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." You might not be satisfied with yourself right now here in this old body, on this old sin-cursed earth, but there's coming a day that we will behold his face in righteousness and we will be satisfied. Isaiah says this, and I had this with my mom's message. Isaiah 33:17. It says, thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. Comfort of the Scriptures. If you have someone that you love and you lost, they went by way of death, and they were true born-again believers. They have seen him in righteousness. They are now beholding the land that we're talking about, this very far off. They have stepped out of faith and have gone into sight. I'll be glad when faith ends, amen, and sight becomes the reality. Right now we walk by faith, not sight. There's coming a day when all that we have believed will be sight, no longer need of faith, because it's all true. He will keep you and bring you safely home, being confident of this very thing that he has, which he has begun. He did that when you got saved. A good work in you. We'll perform it. We'll complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. The best way I think that a child of God could take this thought that we just read today, it ought to do a stirring in our soul and want to cause us to humbly maybe kneel down before him and just say, "Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I want to reoffer my body again, whatever it is, as a living sacrifice to you, that I might be living a life that is holy and acceptable with you out of my gratitude for not only what you're doing now, but you're saving the very best for last." I wonder if we might stand and we'll get ready to close this study out. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Are you grateful for what God is doing in your life? Did God's word this morning comfort you, encourage you? When was the last time you thanked him? The Bible says, "Oh, come." It's an invitation. In the Psalms, it says, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, For he is our God, and we, you and I, are the people of his pasture. God, help us to be grateful and to show it in our worship. Father, we humbly bow before thee even now. And as we close out this morning service, dear Father, with a hymn of the faith, may we worship you, Lord, in the spirit of holiness. May you be lifted up. May you draw us closer to you, and may we desire to draw nigh to you. And Lord, thank you for salvation. Thank you for working on us in this life, molding us and making us after your will. And we thank you in advance for that day when we will see you face to face. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.